This is a statement from the Richmond Defenders. Good afternoon, Richmond. The revolution may not be televised, but it will be aired on WRIR. Normally, you can tune in the Defenders live on Mondays, 12:30 to 1 p.m. here on WRIR 97.3 LP. FM with your host, Anna Edwards. But for the next 2 weeks, we're doing something different. In order to keep you current with election-relevant material, Christopher Maxwell and Homespun C-SPAN will bring you audio from debates for city council and other elected positions in the city areas. Defenders Live will return with two special one-hour shows that will bring you bristling political substance as covered by the Richmond Defender, your community newspaper. Mixed it up with cultural earth rumblings from the arts and sciences and interviews with people making waves in the water and humanity in your face, all steeped in worldview teapot for clarity and potency and transformational dispersal. In the meantime, we'll bring you bits of iron and chain breaking data throughout the days to come. November 11th is a day to honor what Nat Turner fought so fiercely to end. Join folks headed to Cortland in Southampton County, Virginia, to lay a wreath on the spot where he died, trying to free himself and his people from enslavement and all its insidious levels, spiritual, physical, and societal. If you can't go and join them, go learn something new about it. There's always more to learn. Always www.defendersfje.org. December 2 is a day to honor those who struggle among us right now. At the 3rd Annual Defenders Fighting Fund and Community Awards Dinner, details and honorees will be announced next week. Sponsorship opportunities are available at www.defendersfje.org. Stay tuned to this station today and every day. The struggle is nothing if not creative, and it is happening all around you, so don't blink. Look forward and remember, kindness matters. That was a statement I'm very happy to have read for the Richmond Defenders, who has traded off 2 hours this next 2 weeks for election coverage for them to have 2 full hours the weeks following. Our interview with Jim Nachman will return at 1 p.m. Welcome to the second half of today's 2006 City Council election special of Homespun C-SPAN. This is the Richmond Crusade for Voters debate between city council candidates, and this is the first time the Crusade for Voters has had a visit by a candidate for Virginia U.S. Senate, Gail Parker, and Virginia's 7th District U.S. House of Representatives, Jim Nachman. In this second part, you will hear the last three of the 2-minute introductory speeches for folks running in this district. First, you'll hear U.S. Senate for Virginia candidate Gail Parker, then Bill Pandley, and finally a letter from Councilperson Graziano. Then for the rest of this half hour, we return at 1 p.m. to our interview with Jim Nachman. But between now and then, the question and answer session for the candidates running for city council at the Richmond Crusade for Voters, following Gail Parker, Pantelis, and Graziano's statement.
Ladies and gentlemen, we finally got our candidate from the 7th Congressional District. That's a first, I believe, for us at this point. It has come to my attention that one more candidate has arrived. I believe her name is Mrs. Gail Parker, who is running as an independent for the United States Senate. Ms. Parker, come take a seat and address the Crusade for Voters. You have 2 minutes to give us an opening statement. Let us warmly receive Ms. Parker.
Well, it's so nice to be here in Richmond again. I just drove over from Roanoke this morning, and I had a video teleconferencing into Fredericksburg just earlier, and so I was able to make 2 appointments at the same time at 7 p.m. tonight, which was very good. But it's very nice to be here in Richmond, and I want to thank you all for signing my petition for more trains and less traffic. This campaign is about faith and family and freedom and about fiscally responsibility and being socially responsible in the implementation. And in this phase of our campaign, we are emphasizing strongly that there is a deficit in this country, and that's the real issue in this campaign. We're focusing a lot of our effort on elevating that issue. Rail is a solution to that deficit, and we've been elevating that issue too. But we want to point out that rail is a solution, and the real issue in the campaign is the debt. It's now $8.5 trillion. The deficit this year is expected to be $300 billion. That will be added to the $8.5 trillion debt. Folks, I'm here today to tell you that those Washington incumbents, both of the other challengers, have allowed on their watch for the national debt to almost double. Those Washington incumbents are pulling the wool over your eyes with one hand and picking your pockets with the other one. You've got to keep your eye on them. The debt is the real issue in this campaign, and that's what we're going to be focusing on. We've got to pay off the debt. Thank you.
Another candidate has arrived, Mr. Pantoli from the 2nd District. Candidates who arrive before we go to the questions, we will allow them to get their 2 minutes in now. Candidates who arrive after the questions, we will allow them an opportunity to introduce themselves near the end of the program, consistent with what we did last week. Mr. Pantoli, you have 2 minutes, sir, to tell us why you want to run for City Council again.
Thank you. Good evening, Crusaders. Sorry I was late, but as you know, the City Council job is 24/7, and I left a revitalizing neighborhood that had 75 people at their Civic Association meeting tonight, and they're making tremendous progress. That's why I'm running again, because you look at what we've done, and you look at the progress that we've made and where we're headed, it's as exciting as can be. You know, the neighborhoods that were so blighted and drug-infested and hopeless now have communities, families coming together. So I'm all about a strong downtown. I'm about strong neighborhoods. I think we've made great progress in the last 5 years. And I want to tell you today, I'm as excited and motivated and ready to work double hard for you for the next 2 years. And I hope that I'll have you behind me. Thank you very much.
Mrs. Graziano from the 4th District is in California. She has sent a letter that she would like us to read for your benefit tonight. I'm going to ask Mr. Green, our Vice President, to read the letter from Mrs. Graziano. Mr. Green. And Mr. Green will proceed with the questions, ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen and members of the Richmond Crusade for Voters, thank you for your continuing invitation to participate in Crusade meetings. I regret that on September 26th, I will be out of the state on a previously scheduled trip. As you know, I'm unopposed for a second term on City Council, and I think the advice and guidance that Crusade members have shared with me and the close relationship that we've shared has much to do with my lack of opposition. My 2 years on City Council have been challenging and rewarding. We have made real progress in a number of important areas. We have cut real estate taxes twice. We have created 2 tax relief programs, and we are considering a third. We're working hard to reduce residential blight and provide more housing choices for more people. 2 years ago, I was fortunate enough to receive the endorsement of the Crusade for Voters. I come to you once again and ask for your endorsement and support for my reelection. Thank you for your consideration. Sincerely, Catherine Graziano. Okay.
You are listening to the Richmond Crusade for Voters 2006 City Council Candidate Debates, Question and Answer Sessions. This is Part 2.
We will now begin our question period. And again, each candidate will have 2 minutes to respond, and I will only ask the question once. The first question is as follows. What is your plan to revitalize neighborhoods as opposed to putting all our resources in business district development? Starting with the 1st District, Mr. Gope.
The first way to revitalize our communities, of course, is with the schools, as has been mentioned before. If you want a strong community, you have a strong school. Other people have already discussed the fact that finally we do have a plan in terms of the construction of the schools, of modernizing our schools. The average school in Richmond was built when Harry Truman was president. Good president, but even think he'd say we could use some revitalizing our schools. But that's just construction. Then you need instruction. And we do have, at least I have, an instruction initiative, which is when we start closing some of these schools that are over, that don't need, or rehabilitation of the schools, we'll save about $10 to $18 million. Let's put that into instruction. You know, one in eight of our teachers doesn't have a full license to teach. You know, one half of the teachers that teach science and math, by my estimation, don't have the requisite degree to teach science and math. In the first district here, after the fifth grade, we have any number of families leave. We need to keep them here. We need to keep them. And it's a similar thing across the city. If we can build these schools, you will see further community revitalization. Second of all, we need to get more incentives to get businesses into the communities. We have been successful at doing that downtown. We need to use more of our noodle so we can get some more business development into the communities. And third is crime. You want to revitalize your neighborhood? We need to increase significantly police presence in our neighborhoods. That's the number one way to cut crime in all the studies going back to 1962. And Giuliani used that very successfully.
20 seconds.
It's crime, schools, businesses. With those kinds of things, we can revitalize our neighborhoods and make Richmond all it can be for everybody.
Mr. Bates.
Thank you. One of the opportunities, and it's Mr. Goldman mentioned Mr. Giuliani. When Rudy Giuliani became mayor of New York, one of his first goals, his quality of life campaign, that was laughed at. I was fortunate I had just transferred to New York at that time. Was up there for about 5 years during his tenure. Watching that city transform was absolutely amazing, whether you call it the quality of life campaign or the broken window campaign. Starting with every single item that comes up as far as issues, whether it's small crime. I'll tell you, in the first district, we're not looking at cultural issues, and I'll just be honest about it. We're not looking at cultural issues affecting us in the first district. Endemic problems, not an issue in the first district. I understand the problems that are going on. I read about them in the paper. Every other district in the city faces a lot of issues, so I'm not going to stand up here and try and fool you. The friends that I talk to, our crime is drive-through crime. We find issues. You've heard folks talk about the sector policing. I can tell you the first district's not happy with that. I can tell you the first district sector crosses the river, and more often than not, my district's officer is not a straight line. They might be 2 miles away, but they're across the river 2 miles away. That's a big issue for our district. Looking at what we can do to cut costs in other parts of the city, I go back to what I said earlier. Savings that we can realize in other areas, other things that our city doesn't do well or maybe shouldn't do, those need to be revisited. Funneling that money into police, into schools, I have to say, the city of the future, I support it. Do I support every plank in it? Probably not. The opportunity to have a plan is critical. Mr. Goldman, I thank you for the plan. Having it, like any business, has a 5-year plan, has a 10-year plan. Those things get revised, but thank God we have one. Thank you.
We now begin with the 2nd District, Mr. Kelberg.
Revitalizing our neighborhoods is essential, and it's what I alluded to earlier when I gave my 2-minute presentation. It's about bringing good people back into the city. I know that there's probably 80,000 people in the counties that want to come back into the city, that want to live in the city because of its grandeur, but they don't. And why don't they? 3 reasons. Crime, education, and taxes. I'll start with education. Crime is our number one concern. Public safety is number one concern. Education is the number one service that we provide. Okay, so that's how they're broken out. Education, we have K-5. But after that, I've lost so many of my good neighbors to the counties because they don't want to put their kids in public schools beyond 5th grade. And that's a fact, and nobody can tell me different. And that's where we need to work on our education. And if that means doubling the IB program, then so be it. Let's double it and triple it if necessary. So these are the things that we need to focus on within the education. And it's not just the inside the box, inside the school's education. We're losing 27% of our students to dropouts. And if we don't give them an alternative skill set, if we don't give them a means to make a living, what really are our expectations? It's something to think about. So we need to utilize the technical centers. We need to utilize the Richmond Public Libraries. For example, the entire community, if you want to get a job today, it's online. You have to go online to get it. We need to teach people how to go online, how to get these job skills. So in solving the education problem from inside the box and outside the box, we can then work on crime. And that will invite people back into the city. City that people that have lived here, people that want to move back in, and new people from across the country that want to come to Richmond. Thank you.
Mr. Manley. Well, I'm going to do something really radical, and I'm going to address the question that was asked to us, which was to differentiate between investment downtown in the Central Business District and investment in our neighborhoods. And the first thing I would tell you is that the question is flawed because it's simply not true. It's true that the city has made a number of significant investments downtown in the Central Business District, and that probably made some sense over the years because we need to have a strong downtown and employment base and tax base for this city to be what we want it to be. But at the same time, no one wants to talk about neighborhoods in bloom. Maybe because they didn't think it up. But City Council made an extremely courageous decision to put nearly 100% of its community development block grant money into neighborhood revitalization in 1998 or so. And City Council's been hanging tough with that. That's the money that put $4 million into Carver, about an equal amount into Jackson Ward. Drive through the Randolph community. Tell me it's not better. Go to Oregon Hill and the support we've given OHIC there. Go to Church Hill. Look at the differences. Crime has gone down. Infrastructure investments have been made, and City Council over the years has stayed true to that course. Let me tell you about this year's budget. In this year's budget, City Council voted to put $15 million into neighborhood infrastructure, roads, alleys, streets, trees. The money's there. And City Council, as it always has been, will defend our neighborhoods and make the investments that we need because it's our neighborhoods that make the city great. Thank you.
Mr. Persinger.
Hello, Silver Persinger, running for City Council in the 5th District. The question is, what is my plan to revitalize neighborhoods? Well, I think a lot of what it comes down to, and this goes with the reduction of crime, is providing jobs to citizens. Now, I'm an advocate for the city creating a carpentry training program where young people who have no direction or no skill that they can get a job with easily can sign a 2-year contract to work as a carpenter with the city, and what they would do is they would revitalize properties that the city already owns. The city owns probably hundreds of dilapidated properties, but pay these people a living wage, teach them a skill that they can get a job with afterwards, and then you would be able to utilize them for emergencies like Battery Park, where they could come in and do work for these people at cost or something like that. Also, they could redo buildings in the districts that might be suitable for child care centers. You know, they could revitalize these buildings that are former business buildings, and then the city could operate child care facilities out of these buildings for low-income citizens. Thirdly, I would like to create a grant match program for cooperative businesses in the city. You know what a cooperative is? It's a business that's owned by all the workers. And what I propose to do is just create a $1 million grant. And, you know, of course the question is, where will the money come for this? But, you know, our budget this last year was $617 million. I was looking at some old notes from 3 years back when Calvin Jamison was presenting a budget. It was $514 million. Why has the budget gone up $103 million in the last 3 years? I want to use the city's money better and create more jobs and take care of infrastructure problems. Thank you.
Mr. Jewell.
Thank you. Neighborhoods. Every problem we've got, from truancy to murder, are neighborhood problems. Stuff isn't going on downtown. It's not happening in industrial zones. It's happening in pockets of neighborhoods. Our neighborhoods have been neglected for 25 or more years. The human side of our neighborhoods have been neglected for that long. 25 years ago, we had almost 600 neighborhood associations, civic leagues, but mostly block clubs listed downtown. Today, we got about 85. We've lost over 80% of organized civic fabric in this city, and that's what's driving the madness that we're reading about in the paper every day. We got some neighborhoods that just need a little nudge, and they haven't gotten it. Abject neglect for 20, 25 years. And half of what's broken our neighborhoods go to school. And if we don't fix what's wrong there before those children get to school, those teachers can't fix that. We shouldn't ask them to try and fix that. We got to do our job on the neighborhood side. We got to get resources back in neighborhoods on the human side, not just bricks and mortar. I've got a paper. I've got good news for you that in my district, or better yet in this city, the last two police chiefs announced that we cannot get rid of these persistent 5-10-year-old drug hotspots that we know have existed in our city. I'm here to tell you all 12 of them in my district are gone. And it is because not only because of the sector policing that I support greatly, where they are reaching out, but also because yours truly, been working organizing civic leagues in my district. We've got six of them, and we got a seventh one on the way. Thank you.
Now go to the 6th District, Ms. Robinson.
Thank you very much. Revitalizing neighborhoods is something that's very dear to my heart, and I did for 15 years before coming to serve on City Council. The way that we need to move with revitalizing our neighborhoods is to first encourage the residents that live in these communities to take ownership of the communities. Until the residents that live in the community have an opportunity to really take on the ownership, then we will continue to be looking at government quick fix jobs that come in and leave the community high and dry. We also need to focus on, as we go through the redevelopment of our communities, to make sure that we incorporate inclusive housing and business zones that provide opportunities for all people, depending on their income, to be able to live within our communities in affordable, decent housing, and also the opportunity to start neighborhood businesses. One of the other things that is very important to the redevelopment of communities is that we really need to embrace the parents. We've got a lot of young parents that are not being the parents that they would like to be, but there is little resources that is available to really help them prepare their children to be good, productive citizens, prepare them to go to school, to learn, and we really need to invest in those parents and encourage our fathers to be fathers. Secondly, we need to tell the federal government that the program of welfare and public assistance has done a lot to create poverty. And we want those dollars to be reinvested into actual jobs that pays good salaries, not just telling our children to say no. We want the same investment as we have with the other incentives. Thank you very much.
Mr. Williams.
A few years ago, I had the opportunity to look at an NAACP brochure. And in that brochure, it showed a black school assessed at $10,000 and a white school assessed at $100,000. That was 40, 50 years ago. Today, I look at MCV, the major structure that's happening on that side of the valley, and I look at that valley, which should be parkland, and I look at the King Middle School site, and I see a great discrepancy between what's happening on this side of that valley and what's happening on the other side of that valley. Proposals as to what do you do for community development, we can get into the issues of focusing on our schools, but you do the math. One quarter of the time the child spends in the school is all they have. Three quarters of that time are in the neighborhoods. The teachers can't win with those kind of numbers. And that is why young black males gradually in their teens lose their competitiveness in school because the streets have taken them back. So it's very important that we develop what I call holistic community neighborhood centers. The area around King Middle School, the area around Chandler and the business district of Brooklyn Park Boulevard, in the area of King Middle School, that should be an area with more gymnasium and recreation space. But what's very important here in dealing with the school issues that has been proposed here is we have to have schools that also have social and human services components in those schools. We have to have schools that have a relationship to the parents as well as the children are in a way to get to the parents. So how do you create, and we have to think beyond what has always been done. We have to lead in the city of Richmond and we have to develop approaches. So we want to focus on community centers of hope in strategic locations. We can't do everything all across the city of Richmond, but we need to plan in a very well urban designed approach. And it's not all about bricks and mortar, it's about people, but it's about giving them communities that they all can develop themselves in. Thank you.
Seventh District, Mr. Malone.
Before you can start revitalizing a neighborhood, you got to have the art of government. You got to have accountability, responsibility, and transparency. Now, I'm going to depart a night from the script that usually take place. We cannot have revitalization in the Seventh District because of this. This is what residents have been receiving for the last 6 years: a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken. The chicken days are over. We now have to bring responsible government to the east end of Richmond. Also, if you want revitalization, I got some more tricks here for you, too. No, that's a trick. That's a tree. Now, this right here is a horse. I got a pony in the bag, too. And it's a pink pony. Yeah, but this pony here, see how dilapidated it is? Can't do nothing, can't get anywhere. This horse here, you got to have a horse in the city council to deal with horses. That's no prayer meeting, that's a bad meeting. Now, the last thing, you heard my phone ring just now. You gotta have responsible representatives. I've answered over 11,000 calls in 8 years and over 7,000 emails. And my colleagues on the board will tell you, when I took over the schools in the East End, they were prisons. They looked terrible. Now look at them. They old, but they look beautiful. And the kids are learning. I started revitalization, and I'm going to continue it in the 7th District. Give me your vote and your support, and watch me flame.
If you want a joker for a city council person, you just saw it. Anyway... My plan to revitalize the East End and help revitalize the city of Richmond has certainly been what I've been doing. It's been a major focus of mine since 1999. Like the $2.2 million that went to 25th Street to do acquisition of land. And the last building that to be demolished in that block is about to occur. And so I've always been about revitalizing neighborhoods. Eliminating the blight through the Neighborhood in Blooms program, working with organizations such as ACORN, Richmond Better Housing, and other CDCs. I've always been about revitalizing the community, like establishing an East End Teen Center, which I'm receiving opposition for kids who are standing on a street corner day in and day out with absolutely nothing to do after they pass the age of 11. I've always been about revitalizing neighborhoods. I've always been about revitalizing neighborhoods by trying to engage the faith-based community. That is one of the greatest untapped resources that we have in the city of Richmond is our faith-based community. We need to go in. We have people that come into our communities every Sunday and Wednesday, day in and out, thousands of people who we need to be tapping in and trying to bring them back into the communities. I've always been about revitalization, and as I move after November the 7th, I will continue to work to revitalize this city and the 7th District, a place of choice. Thank you.
You have been listening to the Richmond Crusade for Voters debate between candidates for City Council as well as the Virginia U.S. Senate position. The Richmond Defender will return 2 weeks, allowing us to bring you more City Council candidate speeches and thoughts to questions. Stay tuned for City Council question and answer session, and then at 1 p.m., the continuation of the Jim Nachman interview. The Richmond Defender will return in 2 weeks. You can also get more information on the issues discussed on Mr. Nachman's interview by visiting WRIR.org and looking for the links to the blog on the Nachman interview, including the actual prices for gasoline other countries pay.